Now this is my kind of party. Grab a friend, bring the guns. It's time for the Co-Opticast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Co-Opticast. This is episode 49 for Sunday, August 22nd, 2010. I am Mike and I am joined by Nick, and we are here to talk about the latest and greatest co-op news. And good God, there's a ton of it. But first we're gonna stick with tradition and talk about what we've been playing. So, Nick, let's have it.
Well, I got actually early access to Scott Pilgrim on the 360 this weekend. Ooh. So I was playing a little bit of that, and it's pretty good, but it's tough by yourself. It's really tough by yourself.
Yeah, it's tough until you find the secret store in the first level and render the difficulty curve irrelevant.
Okay.
It's under the... If you go into the tunnel towards the end of the level, you'll see a star on the wall.
Uh-huh.
Just walk in there, and you can buy something called a bionic arm, and it gives you plus 50 to your strength stat.
Oh, jeez.
So you basically start pummeling guys in one or two hits rather than everything else. But, yeah.
Yep.
You want to do everything you can to level up in that game.
I think I'm at level 6 or 7 right now. I've basically played the first level... three times. I finally got to the boss on my third time, and I ended up dying at him.
No.
It was one of those things where, you know, I like how they have the whole, you know, the boss blinks color when he's dying and stuff. You know, there's so much, like, retro love in that game.
And it's all beat-em-up love, which made that game... I reviewed it, so you can read it and see how much I loved it. But one of my favorite things about that game is when you pause it, it plays a little drum ditty, just like Battletoads.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's all kinds of random stuff. I
like the little like bonus bridge levels where it has like the pieces of the game graphics all screwed up.
Oh yeah, like corrupted ROM and everything.
Yeah, yeah, it's a lot of little stuff. The animations are real slick. You know, it looks great in HD, even though it's like this, you know, 8-bit kind of a thing. And soundtrack's great.
It's Anna Monoguchi. If you've ever been to PAX, you've probably seen or heard of them.
Yeah. I just saw, actually, this week, too, they're going to release that on iTunes and whatever else to purchase.
That made me very happy.
Yeah, so I might have to pick that up. I'm always looking for some good 8-bit music for, you know, the podcast and just to have on in the background sometimes when I'm programming.
Yeah.
So, yeah, beyond that, played a bunch of Monday Night Combat. Mostly just the versus mode. There's a ton of people. My friends is always playing it, so it's good to get in matches there.
I'm kind of glad that got as popular as it did because it looked really fun.
It is. And the guys at Uber Entertainment, you can tell that they really love it. Like, they're really into the product, really into the community, you know, tweaking, giving back, listening to the community kind of a thing. So I think it's going to be a game with legs. I think there might be 5 maps in it. So there's not many, but the matches themselves, like, are real meaty. They last for a while. There's a lot of back and forth. There's a lot of strategy. People, you know, you got to adjust things on the fly. So it's a really solid versus shooter. The co-op mode's fun too, you know, after a while, it just kind of, you get into a groove and you can just play forever almost. So...
Yeah, I mean, when that game was announced, I remember going over it. I think I posted the news story or something. But I went to the website, and they had a really, really bad website at the time.
Yeah.
I haven't been back, but I wrote the game off completely because of it. It was the kind of site where you're like, man, if you can't take, you know, care of your website, I don't know if I want to play your game.
Yeah, well, you know, what's funny, too, is like, I actually, Uber Entertainment, even though that's their first game, there's a lot of industry veterans that form that studio. That they're a Seattle-based studio, and so there's a lot of ex-Microsoft guys. I think there's even a few ex-Valve folks there working on the games. And
wonder if there's any ex-Team Fortress 2 guys.
Yeah, you know, that's been that thing that they've been trying to shake the whole time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's good stuff. So, you know, I anybody looking for $15, it is a quality experience. So... but what isn't so great a quality experience was the other game I spent an enormous amount of time with, and that's Kane & Lynch 2. And I think if you listen to the podcast, you know, I was really looking forward to this, really looking forward to get my hands on it. And they just totally dropped the ball on the story on this. Like, the characters, I've always really liked the characters, found them very interesting. And there is some decent dialogue in the game and some stuff, but the story is just kind of... I was playing it with Shipwreck from Cheap Ass Gamer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're playing co-op, and we got to this point, and, like, it's just wave after wave of these, like, army guys are coming at us, and I'm like, why are we killing these people again? Like, what is going on? Like, I just completely lost what we were supposed to do, because the game is purely cover, out of cover, shoot, cover, out of cover, shoot. Like, that's what you do, that's what the AI does, like, that's, it very rarely breaks from that.
I've also heard it's short and really linear, so...
Four and a half hours, maybe, it took me.
Oh, I mean, my.
I don't even think it was five.
All you people that complain about Limbo being 3 hours long,
yeah,
and this is charging $15 for it, this is a $60 game.
And what's worse, so, you know, they really concentrate on the multiplayer. The multiplayer is a lot of fun, you know, and it's one of the, it's kind of... It's very co-op, the multiplayer, but it has a competitive edge to it, because so what you do is you have six or eight people on a team. There's a heist you have to do. You rob a bank. You might steal a bunch of cocaine from, like, some dealers, something like that. So you get it all, and then you have to get to the extraction point. But at any time after you get whatever the product is, you know, you can turn on your teammates to steal it, because you're also trying to escape with the most money possible.
Yeah, that was in the first game as well, right?
Yeah, there's some tweaks to the formula with it. You know, if you die, like in the last one, still, if you died, you came back as a cop, and you could stop and you got your share and stuff like that. So they still have that mode, but now they have some tweaks to it. There's a mode where called Undercover Cop, where one of the players actually is the cop, so he is trying to stop the heist, but you don't know who it is every round. It, you know, it's randomly picking that, so you kind of. You have to pick your moments and stuff, and it's pretty interesting. What they added was an arcade mode version of that, not the Undercover Cop, but of Fragile Alliance, and that's basically just a single player with the AI, and seeing how many rounds you can go. Every round, it gets more and more difficult. And that's actually pretty fun, because you can play in these short little sessions. Like, the heist, from the time the round starts to the heist to the end, is you're talking like 90 seconds. Like, it's fast. It's real fast in your face, you know, running, lots of, you know, quick shots and getting out of there. So it's kind of cool, but back to the campaign itself, the co-op campaign, it was a total letdown after what the first game offered. And we found some issues, too, with who's ever hosting seems to be okay, but who's ever the guest in the game seems to have, I guess it's latency related, you know, several animation glitches. The game actually crashed at one point on me. So I don't think it was quite ready. And what makes matters worse out of all of that is, out of the box, if you do go into those multiplayer modes, you'll see some extra maps and some extra kind of things, weapons and stuff that are locked. And it says, like, straight in that like, oh, you don't have this DLC. It's like, you can't...
Wasn't all that pre-order?
Some of it was, but some of it... They did announce three separate packs with DLC on launch day with it that are coming out next week. So it's kind of like a slap in your face when you do something like that, especially, like you said, 4.5, 5-hour game for the campaign.
So yeah, they're charging you 60 for that, and then they'll probably hit you for 5 to 10 more for each of those packs.
Yeah.
That's unacceptable.
Yeah.
And I do know that as checking out Giant Bomb's coverage of it, and the 360 version that they were playing had a bug where if you used the shotgun and got a headshot on anybody, the game froze for like 10 seconds every time you did it.
Yeah, well, there's a couple bugs like that where depending on like the explosion, size of the explosion you cause... you could see the game like processing the explosion or something. There's like, you know, a 5 to 10 second hiccup there. I did hit that a couple times. It wasn't necessarily with that shotgun, but with something else.
Sounds like it could have spent a little more time in the oven.
Yeah,
to me.
And what's funny is like the game actually moved up almost 2 weeks for release day. It was originally supposed to come out, I think, the end of this week or even the following, and they moved it up like almost 2 weeks because, you know, they said it was done and ready, and it just isn't. I like the visual style thing. I think it's pretty nice. It does take some getting used to. I felt a little sick, actually, after that first level, getting used to the camera bob and everything. But it, at times, like, because of that, like, grainy, filmy look it has, and the bright, the contrast, you know, and the saturated look, it looks really realistic at times. Like, you'll look at something, and if, you know, you're not staring at it, but you just sit back and you look at it, it's like, wow, that looks really good. But I don't know. Like we said, it's not quite there. I had asked PR, you know, is there a patch in the works? I mean, some of these things seem to be pretty blatant issues. And he said, you know, they didn't have any comment at the time. So
that means yes.
Yeah. so, yeah. And then finally, I've been playing Madden 11, getting my football fix. Preseason started up last week. So I've been starting to play that. And yeah, it's Madden. One thing I wanted to comment on is everything is sponsored in the game. It is ridiculous. You have, like,
I heard the achievements are sponsored.
Oh, yes. There's, I think, four achievements that are, like, you know, the Old Spice Swagger punt return and the, the Doritos tackle of the game. You know, like, there's so much. You know, in the game itself, there's stats like that that are sponsored. And, you know, by next year, I said this on Twitter. I was like, next year we're going to see the actual plays in the playbook, like, you know, the Starbucks cover four buzz defense, and the everything is just going to be sponsored with a name. It's just absolutely ridiculous. So
it is, but the, you know, that's the nature of televised sports in general. Everything's sponsored by something.
What's interesting is we were playing it at the housewarming party we had last night, and an older gentleman that was here who doesn't really know much about video games. He's in his late 60s. You know, he's just not into that kind of a thing. And he saw, like, all the ads and stuff in it. And he goes, he's like, wow, there's, you know, there's a lot of, like, sponsorships and stuff. He goes, does that make the game cheaper? And I was like, no, not at all. I said, we don't see any of that. That's all going to the developer. And it was kind of interesting. So, I mean, he literally knew nothing about, like, video game football. He's like, well, what do you do in this? He's like, do you actually get to pick the play? What do you control? Like, it was kind of cool, but it's interesting to see that perspective. You know, it's like, is it cheaper because of all these ads? No.
It's always interesting to play a game in front of a non-gamer and have to, you know, kind of explain or justify what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, my wife plays games periodically, and still, you know, sometimes she'll see what I'm playing and just kind of shake her head and walk away.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't believe I married this man. Playing these games where teenagers shoot themselves in the head and have sex.
Yeah. Well, Jamie's just, she has quote-unquote quit Cafe World. You know, it's funny because for months I've been teasing her because every time we talk about it, and she's looking at me through the door right now pointing at me. It's like she heard me say her name. But, you know, I would always make fun of her because she's like, oh, I hate this. This is so stupid. And I was like, well, why do you keep playing? She's like, I don't know. So she finally, like, let it go for, like, a week and a half, and she stopped. She's like, well, now I need something else to play. And I was like, well, how about World of Warcraft? Like, jokingly. And then she actually likes playing Madden, so she was going to try and pick up and play some Madden. But we have another friend who's into games, and his fiance or girlfriend is really into games as well. And she started playing City of Heroes, so she was trying to talk Jamie into getting into that. So I actually still have my copy, and I was like, I'll put it on your laptop for you, and you can check it out. But it'd be an interesting, you know, movement from Cafe World to City of Heroes.
Yeah, and, well, you know, if you play World of Warcraft, you always have a spot in my guild.
Okay.
Awesome. All right, I suppose that wraps it up for you. So, I have been playing, I played a ton of Scott Pilgrim vs. the World since I reviewed the PSN version, and it's, As I said, it is basically a joyous love letter to fans of the old school brawler. It has probably some kind of element from every old school brawler, be it, you know, coins flying out of dudes from River City Ransom, you know, being able to, you know, steal the, you know, if you die and your buddy has extra lives, being able to steal one of his lives, or beat each other up with weapons and betray each other, pick each other up and throw them at enemies. It's just great. And, you know, like Castle Crashers, it's got such a strong artistic style. I mean, this game really does not look like any other game in existence, and I love it. It's as if, you know, someone made a, like, between the Super Nintendo and the NES, there's some insane 8-bit system that exists.
Yeah.
That they made this for. And, you know, there's things like sprite flicker when there's too many enemies on the screen. You know, you beat up a boss, he starts flashing orange. There's a Technodrome level. Sorry, spoilers. it's just fantastic. And if you like brawlers at all, you should play it. And yeah, read my review if you want to see more. It's just awesome. There's some references that I don't think very many people would ever actually get that exist in that game.
Yeah, hopefully it causes us to see more, you know, with Castle Crashers and this and stuff, like, the brawler, you know, the side-scrolling beat-em-up is, like, you can tell it's still incredibly popular, and the games get reviewed very well, so, you know, maybe we'll see some more original ones coming, you know. So
hopefully. Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, there's room to grow in the genre. There's certainly ways to spice it up and make it more than just a simple, you know, walk from left to right and beat up dudes.
Uh-huh.
But apparently it's tough to do it right, because Castle Crashers and Scott Pilgrim and you know, the recent Final Fight Double Impact are basically your best bets these days.
Yeah,
I remember was it Tekken 6 put one of those beat 'em up modes in that just was boring as hell.
Yeah, it was like more like a third-person action kind of a thing.
I think the Yakuza games pretty much play like a brawler mashed up with an RPG. I've always been meaning to play those, but, you know, time.
Yeah.
So anyway, Scott Pilgrim is awesome, and you should play it, because it looks great, plays great, and has an awesome soundtrack. I also decided that I wanted to play the console version of Sacred 2. And I did. And we've already talked about Sacred, so I'll move on. I once again decided to try out Castlevania Harmony of Despair, whatever the HD stands for in this one. And I got a co-op partner. And I'd still say the game isn't that fun. I mean, I like Castlevania, and I love Castlevania, you know, actually. And this just didn't do it for me. It's... You know, the bosses are ridiculous, and, you know, they can move throughout the levels in the later levels, yeah. And it's just, I don't know, I didn't like it, and I was sitting here thinking, like, maybe I just don't like Castlevania anymore, which brings me to my next game, Castlevania Symphony of the Night, and I popped it in, and I've been playing it pretty much every spare minute I've had for the past few days, so the Castlevania love is still there. It's just, there's something about the Xbox Live version that I'm not digging.
I really think you have to have six people for Harmony.
Maybe.
I've played it with one other person, and it was still pretty boring. But I did have fun when I got into a few matches with full six people. So,
but there's things like of all of the Castlevania games since Symphony of the Night, Order of Ecclesia is my favorite. So I picked Shinoa to play, and The game prides itself on bringing over the mechanics from all of these characters and mashing them into one game. And I've played this, and one of Shinoa's main abilities is, you know, imbuing weapons with magical power, so she can, you know, use any weapon in, like, combo strings. And this game completely stripped that out. You're stuck with the same weapons forever. You can upgrade some spells, and she's a very good spellcaster, so that's fine, but... You know, I liked being able to, you know, drop a two-handed sword and throw in daggers in between it, and I just can't do it. So, as an act of fan service, I don't even think it works that well.
Wait, you can't get weapons for her?
No, she's stuck with what you start with forever.
That's weird, because I've played with Alucard, and, like, you can
Everybody else upgrades their stuff. It's because she's primarily magic. Her spells grow in power the more you use them. Uh-huh. So, you know, eventually she, you know, you start slinging spells and destroying everything without thinking about it. But, you know, it took a significant chunk out of the her gameplay style I didn't like.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've been playing a lot of Symphony of the Night, and Symphony of the Night is quite simply one of the best games ever. And if you haven't played it by now, there's many ways to play it. And let's move on and talk about Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light. I've been playing the crap out of this because this is what Tomb Raider has needed to be for a while, I feel, especially in the wake of things like Uncharted. It's more arcadey. It's just fun as hell, and the co-op is some of the best co-op I've seen in a long time. There's a little bit of a competitive edge to it because you and your partner are competing to grab all the treasure in the level, as well as work together to get, you know, the artifacts and things. And it has all the great trappings of a co-op game, where it is an absolute necessity to use your partner to move on, but you can solve things in different ways, right? And my favorite bit about it, and this probably just, you know, talks about the type of person I am when I play co-op, is I can grief my buddy, but instead of it being a huge setback, it's funny. Because, you know, if one person dies, the other one lives, you know, like the Lego Star Wars games and whatnot, you just respawn on your buddy after a few seconds. You take a hit to your score, but, you know, as long as both of you don't die, you're going around forever.
Okay.
So when you're helping your friend make a tough jump by, you know, giving him a grappling hook and let him swing across a pit, just, you know, let go of the grappling hook and let him drop onto a pit of spikes. It's funny. And Jason and I had an absolute blast playing it. It is one of the most fun downloadable games I've played, and probably one of the most fun games I've played this year. So, it's really great. And since we have a ton of news to go over, let us move into This Week in Co-op. So, we haven't posted it on the site yet, but Valve announced a new piece of Left 4 Dead DLC called The Sacrifice. And if you've played The Passing, you probably know what this is referring to, because it's the lead up to the finale in The Sacrifice. So, I mean, it's been long enough, so spoiler alert. In the end of The Sacrifice, you find one of the other survivors from the original crew has met an untimely demise. And unfortunately, it was Bill. And I shed a tear, as did many people. But Valve said a while ago that they were going to show how those survivors got there. So, enter The Sacrifice. You know, you play through as the original survivors, as far as I understand. And in the finale, one of you has to die. You can pick who dies, which is kind of funny, because every group of Left 4 Dead players I've ever played with has their own survivor that they hate. A lot of people hate Zoe. A lot of people hate Bill. A lot of people hate Rochelle. And, you know, it'll be a nice twist, because at the end you get to, you know, kill your least favorite survivor. So, anyway, the interesting thing is, since it ties into both games, the DLC works in Left 4 Dead and Left 4 Dead 2. And as an added bonus, this DLC adds the entire No Mercy campaign to Left 4 Dead 2. Whether you're playing as the original survivors in it or the new survivors for some reason, I don't know, but I would assume you're probably playing the original crew.
Yeah.
But that's pretty rad, because Left 4 Dead DLC is always great, and they always do really interesting things with them. So, I'm very happy.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how the co-op crews decide who's getting the axe at the end
and
of that.
And it is nice.
I wonder if they're going to stat track that.
Probably.
Yeah, you know, that'd be pretty neat.
It's nice because, you know, Valve said that, you know, despite Left 4 Dead 2 being a sequel rather than an expansion pack, that they would support Left 4 Dead 1, and here you go. You get a new piece of DLC. So, that makes me pretty happy. So we learned a little bit more about Two Worlds 2 it's co-op mode. And we've known for quite some time that it would support 2 to 4 players, and now it appears that it's going to support up to 8 and feature a progressive difficulty curve that requires co-op. What that really means, I don't know, but that's kind of neat.
Yeah, they basically just said that they've made it, you know, they've made it so difficult in the campaign that towards the end, like, you're going to need friends along to get through it. So
fantastic.
Yeah.
So they're MMOing it.
Well, they really are, because there's that campaign thing which bridges Two Worlds 1 and Two Worlds 2, the story, but then there's that village mode, which looks like you have like a village, and I guess you can like buy and trade items with other players. Like, you can invite other players into your village, and they can, you know, barter for whatever, and then bring it back to their village and utilize that. So there's this whole...
So it's like Animal Crossing?
Yeah, like, that's what it kind of sounded like.
Two Worlds, as much as the first one is maligned, and rightfully so, especially if you've ever played it or seen videos of it in action, the sequel intrigues me. I refuse to believe it will be a good game, but I think it might be one of those games that's good despite itself.
Yeah, well, that's what a lot of people said about the first one. I wasn't one of those, but there were a lot of people that were fans of the first game and said, yeah, we know there's lots of bugs and annoyances and stuff, but there's still a really good game here. So
it's no Deadly Premonition, let me tell you.
No.
Deadly Premonition is a terrible game that is awesome because of everything that exists in it. It turns its badness back on itself and makes it really good. So anyway, the Lost Planet 2 is coming to PCs on October 15th. Yay. And it's going to have 3D support. Eh. 3D support. NVIDIA will be quick to tell you that 3D support has existed on PCs for quite some time.
Yeah.
And I'll be quick to point out that fuck 3D support. I don't care. I don't want to wear glasses to play your game. End of story.
Yeah, I mean, really, if you think about it, like, I can remember at least 10 years ago, was it 3DFX that came out with the shutter glasses? One of the manufacturers probably had the shutter glasses out before, and there were a few games. I can remember playing MechWarrior, one of the MechWarriors in 3D with glasses somewhere.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it never took off then. They're trying their damnedest to get this 3D thing to take off.
I think it's going to be DOA, because who's buying 3D TVs?
Yeah.
I mean, I bought a TV last year, and my TV's really nice.
Yeah.
Why would I have occasion to buy a 3D TV?
Yeah.
I mean, really.
that's definitely part of it, especially, you know, in this economy. I know we beat this to death in previous podcasts.
I want
to
beat it some more. 3D support is just as bad, if not worse, than motion controls.
Yeah.
Thank you. Anyway, let's move on. Patapon 3 is going to have 4-player co-op. And if you've ever played Patapon, you can now chant those ridiculous rhythms and drive each other insane.
It's stuck in your head so bad.
Oh my god. I played the first one, I played the demo, the second one. And to this day, random times of the day, I'll go, Patapon, just, it'll get stuck in my head. And if I don't immediately shut it out, that's all I will hear for like an hour.
Yeah.
And now with 4 people, oh my god, oh my god! You'll say it, and then your friend will join in. It'll be Patapon in a round.
Yeah, like, and I think like they actually built the, like, the last game had like a co-op mode, but I'm pretty sure they actually built a whole like the whole game around co-op this time.
Did you just turn your PSP on?
I may be firing up Patapon right now just to annoy the hell out of us.
Oh my god. You should run that in the background. So anyway, speaking of brawlers, Castle Crashers has a release date on PSN, and it's next week, or the week after. It's a week away.
Yeah.
31 August. That is really great, because Castle Crashers is great, and a bunch of people weren't able to play it, and now they will be.
And it's going to be really good I won't even say poor. It's completely rewritten. We had played this at PAX East earlier this year, and we were really surprised at how different it was.
Are you saying I'm going to have to buy this again?
Oh, yeah. I honestly think, even though it's $15, I honestly think it is worth it because they really cleaned up a lot about it.
Oh, boy. I heard that.
You heard the little patapon, didn't you?
I did. They're coming. I did. But yeah, this is going to have the weird volleyball mode, and I think there's still some unannounced stuff as to what's going to be in it. I'd imagine the King and Necromancer DLC packs will be in.
Yeah.
Just because.
Yeah. Well, there's... yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm anticipating the Patapons.
Yeah, I stopped it for now. They're coming when you least expect it.
Okay. All right. Brink has some pre-order bonuses, and they include some interesting Doom and Fallout related materials. And I'm not usually one to encourage pre-orders, but these sound pretty interesting to me. There's a Doom pack if you get it at GameStop and GameStop.com. It's based on what else but Doom. You know, I guess when Bethesda owns you, they can start spreading the IP everywhere. So you'll get, you know, character tattoo and a bunch of customized skins and la-da-da-da-da. But it's interesting that they're making this content available, as well as this Fallout pack.
Yeah, yeah.
And aren't they also including... I could have sworn I heard something about it actually having, like, the games themselves or something.
Ooh, I don't know, but I will say that Bethesda and id are, like, they're really working closely together on a lot of their stuff. It's good to see, yeah, because what was it? QuakeCon was just last week as well. And yeah. On Steam, you could get not only every id game, but every Bethesda game in a pack. And I think it was, like, $66.
Yeah.
That included, like, all the Elder Scrolls titles. Well, all the ones that they had on Steam. I think it had Morrowind and Oblivion.
Well, you can get Arena straight from Bethesda for free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
I'm really probably wrong about that Doom and Fallout thing, because there's a lot of misinformation coming out of QuakeCon, so...
Bethesda, or I should say ZeniMax Media, which is their parent company, is quietly becoming a force to be reckoned with. They just acquired Arcane Games, I think was who it was.
Arcane Studios.
Studios, yeah. So they have id now. And then what was it? They announced that id Tech 5 is going to be exclusive to the ZeniMax games, which not a big deal. Id Tech 4 never really took off as a licensed product. The third iteration, there was a few big games like Call of Duty and some other ones that used that.
I think that id Tech 4 was the Doom engine, and Call of Duty used Quake 3, so...
Yeah, which was id Tech 3, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty...
But it
pretty
had
nuts.
Legs. I mean, id Tech 3 lasted a while, and obviously they made a lot of money off of that.
I think that it is still just too... They're too small to compete in that arena anymore. I mean, look at how long it took Unreal Engine 3 to settle in, and everybody complaining about how difficult it was to develop for.
Yeah.
And John Carmack, genius as he is like one dude, and he probably doesn't have that many people working with him on the engine tech.
He's probably too smart for the other people, and he's, you know, seriously, like, the guy, he finally got a Twitter account, and I followed him, and, like, the stuff that he tweets is just like, holy moly, dude. Like, he lives and breathes programming and mathematics. I mean, it is just in his blood.
And bro is trying to, you know, make lunar landers and stuff in his side business. Yeah. So it's, I mean, he's got other things to do.
And everything that I've heard, I mean, I saw Rage at E3 running on a 360, and I couldn't believe it. It was 60 frames per second, silky smooth. Absolutely gorgeous. Now they have an iPhone, iPad version of the engine that looked amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is a really impressive engine. So maybe their licensing hasn't been the biggest thing in the past, but I think that it is going to be a leg up for them for some of their games. And, definitely. We're going to see – if we see the next Elder Scrolls title using this in Tech 5, you know, the Elder Scrolls titles have always been, you know, graphically bleeding edge too. But if they can not worry about that now and concentrate –
You heard about that – you heard about – was it crap? What the guy who was the head of Bethesda was announced, Todd Howard.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was saying that they've got something in the pipes that's they're going to announce soon.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
pretty far along in development, and I really want it to be Elder Scrolls 5.
Yeah. Somebody basically said, like, when we announce this game, it's going to be the shortest time you've ever seen from the time we announce a product to when it's released. I can't remember if it was that or something else. So much game news happened this past week.
Just hope it's not going to be like the old Sega Saturn announcement. You know, and it's available today.
But the whole point of what I was trying to get at with the Tech 5 thing and Bethesda is, okay, so now they don't have to use any manpower to write an engine for an Elder Scrolls title, right? Now they can take that manpower and put it into the game itself, into, you know, all the core stuff going on there, make it that much better.
And they'll need it because the lead dude from Oblivion and Morrowind now works at 38 Studios.
Yeah. Yeah. He's...
So we'll see. I'm really looking forward to whatever they put out, and I really, like I said, hope it's Elder Scrolls 5 because I love those games. Portal 2 has a new release date, or... You know, they didn't announce one before. They just said it was 2010, then they pushed it back. Anyway, we have February 9th, 2011, the day after my daughter's first birthday. Well.
Convenient. Because you know what you're getting her.
Happy birthday to Jade. Yeah, so Portal 2 is going to be awesome because said it will be.
Did you see the video we posted today?
Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's... pretty short, but got the point across. It's going to be pretty... That'll be another one that'll be fun to do, the co-op griefing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. Especially when you get frustrated and you can't figure a freaking puzzle out. You'll just send your guy into an infinite loop.
So, are you, like me, disappointed that Lara Croft and Guardian of Light did not ship with online co-op, despite it being promised?
Yes, I was very disappointed.
Okay, well, luckily... As we well know, it's getting a patch on the 28th of September for a...
What is...
I think you're screwing up.
No, it was just a pawn.
Oh, okay. Anyway, September 28th...
I'm done.
When... Damn it, Nick! On September 28th, when the PC and PSN versions of Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light come out, you're going to get your online patch for 360, and the first DLC pack, I'd say it's kind of a way of an apology for 360 owners. It's going to be free for the Xbox version. Kind of cool.
Yeah.
Sucks if you bought it on PSN. But hey, them's the breaks. Console exclusivity is a reality that we must all deal with. Here's an interesting one. The next Harry Potter game is going to support Kinect in its co-op mode.
And it looks horrible.
It's Gears of Harry Potter.
Yeah, but the co-op Kinect stuff.
The rail shooter.
Yeah.
Let's move on. This is too depressing. And there's more interesting stories to talk about.
Yes.
Like, Batman, The Brave and the Bold, it looks like there might be a weird DS connectivity thing to the Wii, but that's just a guess. And a guess made by Mark. So,
yeah,
Mark.
I don't know enough about that character or stuff.
I don't either.
But I will say I did play Batman Brave and the Bold, and I really liked it, and I really wish it wasn't on the Wii, because my Wii is packed away in the back of our closet right now.
Yeah,
it's,
isn't Way Forward doing that?
I don't know.
Well, they're really good with... It's a 2D game, and they're really good with 2D stuff, so...
Yeah.
Hey. Let's see. Ooh, here's a really big one. And I don't know why I didn't move this towards the front, but out of Gamescom, the new Ratchet & Clank game has been announced. It's called Ratchet & Clank All for One. And I feel that they probably missed the obvious pun here, because, you know, Ratchet & Clank games have kind of always had a weird sexual subtitle.
Yeah.
Foreplay?
Oh.
I mean,
yeah.
Is that too obvious? Too obvious? I don't know. Anyway, this one is going to have full campaign drop-in, drop-out, four-player co-op with not only Ratchet and Clank, but Captain Cork and Dr. Nefarious joining them. And I really have only played a few Ratchet games, so I don't know the whole history about this, but that seems like an interesting pairing. Or quintupling. Quadrupling. I suck at math. But anyway, it looks really, really fun. And the Ratchet games are, every time I've played one, they've always been really solid, and they are one of the better showcases for your hot and shiny PS3 as far as cool graphics. Let's see. Fear 3. It's been delayed to 2011. Boo.
That game was pretty impressive, too, so...
Well, hopefully it'll be even more impressive.
Yes.
And Microsoft has announced that they are making a new Age of Empires game. Yay! It's kind of an MMO. Eh. But it has online co-op. Yay! And that's really all we know about it.
It has a really unique art style. Well, I won't say a unique art style, but a different art style.
It looks a lot like... kind of like Torchlight plus Grease.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Just kind of squat, cartoony. I don't know. It's cool.
Yeah.
Age of Empires is a game I enjoyed when I was in high school, you know, like 10, 11 years ago. So, yeah, hopefully this will be good. Let's see. Free and paid name changes for those of you who couldn't figure out what your character name was in StarCraft.
Hey,
well, you're not alone. You're not alone, but... Just as in World of Warcraft, Blizzard's going to let you open your pockets and pay them to change that name. Congrats.
Well, but they are.
But it looks like there's free. There's going to be some free ones as well.
Yeah. Well, so I actually I put a ticket in because I was kind of pissed when I put in the wrong name. Well, I didn't put in the wrong name. I just flubbed it basically.
And, yeah.
Because I didn't realize that that was my online name. I thought I was basically naming my campaign. That's what it appeared to be. When I started it. So I actually put a ticket in, and I was like, hey, you know, can I change this? And they're like, oh, yeah, sure, we put the request in, not a problem. And it was like 3 weeks, kept going back and forth, and I kept getting, like, the Blizzard Auto survey things, like, how was our support? And I kept responding and being like, I still haven't gotten my solution answered. So then someone would contact me and say, like, oh, the request is in, sure enough, it's coming. Finally, I got a thing that said it was closed, and they linked me to this post that went up. So I guess they had enough people complain about it that they decided to, you know, make one free.
Yeah. Well, you know, as with if you've followed World of Warcraft at all, you'll probably see a pattern of things you're going to start being able to pay for.
Yeah.
I imagine that. Oh my! They're back.
Can't get them out of this room.
Yeah. Stupid patapons. So anyway, where was I? Anyway, I was talking about, you know, I'm predicting that something you'll be able to unlock for StarCraft 2. You might be able to, you know, do microtransactions for some of those custom decals.
Yeah.
You know, things like that, like cosmetic changes, just like in World of Warcraft. Because you can buy things from them for real dollars. So anyway, speaking of buying things for real dollars, if you buy anything tangible in Fable 3, it'll come with a code for something. How's that for, you know, cross-promotion? You could buy, for instance, this hideously ugly 360 controller, and it'll come with a code for a unique weapon. Or no, that's the book. I'm sorry. It'll come with a code for something. But point is, anything you buy related to Fable 3, be it this book or this controller, you will have a DLC code included with it for something. And I would assume you'll want to order these online, because if you find this book in, say, Borders, someone's going to have grabbed that code.
That's a good point. How are they going to protect that?
Yeah, they're not. It's like, you know, anything that comes with, like, a fan magazine, it comes with a unique Pokemon card or something. Yeah. You'll buy that thing, and every one of those cards will have been taken. So, yeah. It looks like the ugly controller will probably get you an equally ugly tattoo for your character. But, yeah. It's an interesting promotion, for sure. And let's see. Hunted, the Demon's Forge. It looks like there's going to be a quest editor. Or dungeon creator.
Yeah. Yeah, it was...
That intrigues me greatly.
Yeah, they kind of revealed it through pre-order bonuses. There were... Some of the pre-order bonuses were items for the dungeon creator or quest editor, yeah. Whatever they're calling it. So that's cool.
And yeah.
If you saw the coverage out of Gamescom, it's been pretty positive for... actually, I guess it's out of QuakeCon for that one.
Yeah.
Too many things this past week. But yeah, it's been pretty positive, the coverage on it, so...
Yeah, I'm optimistic about that one, but we'll have to see. I mean, it looks like it could be really cool, but it could also completely blow. So, you know, as with most games, but it's kind of a... I don't know, it's just an odd mix, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You talked about this earlier, but John Carmack is so amazing, he got Rage running on an iPhone and an iPad.
He did it in his sleep.
Jesus.
He like, woke up and it was done. He was like, ah, I must have been sleep programming again.
Yeah, I guess. That's pretty intense, but it, you know, these devices are not exactly short on horsepower. I mean, and remember the big, like, back in the day, like, the first gigahertz processor you got in your PC?
Yeah.
And you just felt like your machine was a god?
Yeah.
You know, just bursting at the seams of power, and, like, the new iPhone and, like, every Android phone for the past year has a gigahertz processor in the palm of your hand.
Yeah.
And it's just that just blows my mind. Moore's Law is a happy thing sometimes.
Yeah.
Let's see. Zombie mode might be coming back in Black Ops. Yay.
Again, pre-order bonuses have been like the theme of this show. Like, everyone has had something to do with something. Right, and in this case, this was how it was leaked. The if you pre-order from, I think it was Best Buy, you got like 3 exclusive maps for the zombie mode.
Yeah, yeah. So let's close out the news segment on 2 rumors. I know you're saying Mike, but there's only one left in our show notes.
Mike, there's only one left in our show notes.
I know, right? But a cursory scan of Twitter this morning and yesterday showed that. I guess someone at Runic Games said that they're trying to get the original Torchlight out on Xbox Live.
Cool.
For this fall. And that would be rad, because Torchlight is great. Doesn't have co-op, but you never know, they might add it.
Yeah, I think it might be a testbed for the sequel or something, who knows.
Yeah, maybe. And, you know, as with everything related to this game, take it with a grain of salt the size of a Volkswagen. But, maybe Gearbox is working on finishing Duke Nukem Forever? I don't know.
It's not the first time the rumor earlier, actually it was confirmed, was that Gearbox was working on a Duke Nukem spinoff title.
Yeah.
That got canceled. It was going to be like a prequel game to Forever. So the rumor is PAX, which is next week? No, the following week. Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, that'll be fun. It'll be fun, because Randy Pitchford said, yeah, I can elucidate at PAX or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so...
And at PAX, how awesome would it be if he's like, yeah, we're not doing that.
It'd be awesome if he has a panel for it, and the whole panel is like, you know... And
they'll call it The Decision and model it on the stupid LeBron James thing. it's where 2K pitches... To Randy Pitchford.
This is genius.
That you finish off. Like, guys, Borderlands was great. And upcoming DLC looks shit hot. But you know what would be really awesome? Is if you made history by releasing Duke Nukem Forever in a finished state. And he sits there and he just kind of strokes his goatee, maybe does a magic trick since he's into that. And then at the very end, he's just like, nah, I don't think so. Let's do something cooler than that.
Randy, when you woke up this morning, did you know what you're going to do? I did. I knew what I was going to do.
Randy, I was going to say,
what is your decision? That would be so awesome.
And then they'll cut to commercial, and they'll come back. It'll be like, so you want to be a millionaire or whatever.
Yeah.
So let's wrap this biatch up, because we've been talking for quite a while. That's really funny. I put the co-op releases under site stuff. Thanks. I was confused for a second. Anyway, let's talk about some upcoming co-op releases. On the 24th, which is Tuesday, we have Shank on PSN. And on the 25th, we have Shank on XBLA. Amazing. That looks really fun, and I can't wait to get my hands on it, because I like hand-drawn 2D art.
And we were just talking about, beat-em-ups, and that's pretty much what that looks like. So there's two beat-em-ups though coming out that day.
Yeah, because Scott Pilgrim's Xbox Live version is coming out. So if you like achievements more than trophies, or you only have a 360, play Scott Pilgrim. On the 31st, this is just too much goodness.
Yeah.
On the 31st, we have Valkyria Chronicles 2 for the PSP. Yay.
Yes.
And Castle Crashers, the PSN version. Yay. That's a lot of goodness right there. Man, I totally thought Valkyria Chronicles was next year.
Yeah, now it's
snuck up on me.
The demo was good, too. It got me back into playing the original. I played through a bunch last weekend, I think it was. I guess I forgot that on my little, what you've been playing. But I did play a bunch of that last weekend.
Yes, well, you recall the first few episodes of the Co-opticast were basically, let's talk about co-op games and watch Mike spooge over Valkyria Chronicles.
Yeah.
Because that game was amazing. On the 1st of September, is it really coming out?
I think so.
Lord of the Rings Aragorn's Quest for the Wii?
I don't know if... I know for sure, because I just looked today, I saw that the PS3 version with Move is coming out on the 14th, which is the launch date of Move, which I didn't realize that was a launch date of Move, because that's also the launch date of Halo Reach. Does Sony actually think that, like, they're competing with Halo Reach with the Move? Like, is that what they're trying to do?
I don't know.
Like, I don't know. But
when's Dead Space 2 out?
Next year.
Next year?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's next year.
Okay, well, because, I remember they were going to pack in Extraction with the Move.
Yeah.
For a Move-enabled Extraction.
Is that where you're going to pick it up?
The Move? Maybe.
I saw that they're also... I was looking at a bunch of Move stuff today, actually, because there's some bunch of new Sony material out of Gamescom for it. And they're already having some plastic controller things for it. There's a gun one.
Oh, wonderful.
Because the Time Crisis game is coming out at launch, Time Crisis Rising Storm.
Yeah.
Which is another co-op game. And interesting, I gotta look into it more, but I was looking at some screenshots for it. It looks like there's an online versus mode in it or something.
In Time Crisis?
Yeah, like, I don't know if the screenshots are mislabeled on the FTP or something.
I don't know. Like, how the hell would that work?
Well, it looked like a shooter at that point, but it had... In the Time Crisis folder, there's a subfolder that said, like, online mode, and then all the screenshots looked like a first-person versus thing, so I don't know.
Well, Time Crisis, you always split up and you always see the other player.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's going to be wacky.
Yeah.
I mean, Move is something I might begrudgingly get, when there's something I really want to play for it, but... an HD version of Extraction probably isn't going to be it, simply because I could pay $10 and get a Wii copy.
Yeah.
And not drop $100 on all the equipment I would need for Move, since I don't already have the PlayStation Eye.
Yeah. Yeah, some of it actually kind of interests me. I know I'm saying this now just because it's the tech geek in me that wants to play around with it a little bit and see the pretty shiny graphics and stuff.
Yeah.
But... some of it does look kind of cool, like the time all the games I own right now for my Wii that I've kept are arcade shooters. I have, like, the House of the Dead game. I have the Ghost Squad collection. I have... I don't even remember. But they're all the shooters. And that's what I like, the light gun shooters. So, you know, games like Time Crisis and then, like you said, the Dead Space Extraction. Like
all of the games I still have for my Wii right now can be played with a GameCube controller.
It's true.
Let's see. We had a bunch of reviews. A lot of them, actually.
Yeah.
More than... I guess it's... We're getting into that time of year when a bunch of games coming out. But this year has kind of been like that all year.
Yeah.
Like, we've had a few dead spots, but for the most part... Man. Anyway, I reviewed Scott Pilgrim vs. the World on PSN, and once again, you should play it. Believe it was Jim that reviewed Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light.
Yep.
And you should play it because it's awesome. Candy Lynch 2, Nick, you said don't play it, right?
Yeah, I think it's a bargain bin title.
Yeah. Yeah. Blacklight Tango Down was reviewed, and so was Monday Night Combat. And let's see. We had a bunch of features. We had a co-op casual Friday for Murky Horizons. A Battlefield report talking about the latest Red Dead Redemption DLC, a Co-op Classics video edition with X-Men and Space Invaders 2.
Did you watch the Space Invaders 2 video? That's pretty neat. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, I've seen some stuff from it. I haven't watched that whole video yet, but I should. And Kat put out another issue, I guess she's calling them issues, of On the Download, called The Test Drive. So let's see. I've heard that people need to buy shirts from our Split Reason store.
Yes, especially if you're going to PAX. That's a good time to have an awesome Co-Optimist shirt.
You really need to do it. And, yeah, buy some damn shirts. Clothe yourself.
SplitReason.com. There's a menu there. You'll see Co-Optimist listed in it.
Yes, and we should probably provide some links to this. Remind people that, you know, you only have a few weeks before PAX, so you might want to get that stuff shipping. But yeah, buy some stuff. It supports the site, it makes us happy, and the shirts look pretty cool if I do say so myself. And I do. And, you know, standard disclaimer, it'll be like Mike and Nick caressing your nipples gently all day. Do you think that's actually putting people off from buying these? Like, maybe we put something creepy in the shirts?
Maybe.
I don't know. I find myself to be a tender lover, so, you know, maybe, yeah. Yeah, buy some stuff. It'll be great. Leave feedback on iTunes if you choose to grab our feed from there. And they're back. Nick.
What?
I'm trying to tell them to follow us on Twitter at Co-Optimist without the dash.
Follow the Patapons on Twitter.
You should. They would have
a pretty boring Twitter. That would be a great Twitter account to see. That's all it is.
I'm sure that exists. It probably exists simply because we thought of it.
Yeah, we can't think of something that cool.
Yeah, well, we did. We just thought about it too late.
Just looked and it's at Twitter Patapon. It's a bunch of Asian characters with one follower, so.
That's weak. Boo. That person is misusing that intellectual property. Anyway, we have talked for far too long for far too stupid reasons, so please tune in next time for our big 50th episode.
Holy, is it really? Oh man, we gotta come up with something good to do.
We gotta come, well, you know, 52 would technically be the 2-year mark.
Yeah.
So, sometime, you know, either next episode or sometime in the next 6 weeks, we'll do something really awesome.
52, I actually have an idea of what we can do. Because
we're
going to
play online poker?
Yeah, it's going to be the online poker episode.
Sweet.
Yeah, we'll have to come up with something good for 50.
Okay, well, let's say goodbye to all the nice people that chose to listen to us for almost exactly an hour.
Thank you for sticking with us for an hour, people. I don't know how you do it.
Neither do I, but I thank you for it, and we will see you in a fortnight.